Morning, everybody. It's great to see you all out and to have you all out here for Decision Day. And if you're new to G&G, my name is Jeff. And if you're wondering what's Decision Day, to be honest with you, it's one of the few traditions that we actually have here at Good News Gathering. Decision Day is a day that we set aside each year to come together as a church family and to make important decisions about where we are and where we want to go in our journey of faith. And these decisions are made here, that are made here this morning, are between you and God. They're individual decisions. Nobody else has to know about those decisions unless you choose to share them with somebody else. But we found over the years that if we don't set aside time to think and to pray and to seek God's guidance about the direction we're taking, that there's this kind of natural tendency to drift, to coast, to slip into neutral. And before you know it, months pass, and then a year or 2 years, and one day we kind of discover that we're no more like Jesus than we were years before. And that's dangerous. We're still engaging in the same sins. We're still struggling with the same negative thoughts and attitudes and words and actions that harm people around us and put a barrier between us and God, and we're not growing. And so quite a few years ago, we decided to set aside time, one service each year, to really just focus all of our attention on what is the next step of faith that God is calling us to. Think of it almost like a church-wide wake-up call. Now, back in January on Vision Night, we asked people where they believed that God was leading them this year. And people put their answers on sticky notes, and we just got a bunch of them back. And it was really cool to read through them and to be praying over them, as I have. And we asked people, you know, what do you think God's got in store for you? And that was the question. One person actually put a big question mark on their post-it note and said, "What does God have in store for me this year?" And while we can't foresee the future and we can't always control the circumstances that happen around us, we can control the decisions that we make. We can control the priorities we set and how we choose to live our lives. That we can control. And that, friends, is why we do Decision Day. Now, I realize that some of you regulars have probably already started to panic because you got the packet of information this morning. You got a bulletin. You got the communication card. You got the Decision Day card. You got this blue insert, and there was no outline. And your OCD is already kicking in. I can see beads of sweat on people's foreheads and stuff like that. And you're wondering if we can actually have a church service without filling the blanks. So just relax. Remember that our motto is church not as usual. There is no outline today, okay? And the reason for that is today we really just want to focus on the Decision Day card and that blue insert because it really helps you walk through each of the decisions that we'll be making. And we want to focus on prayer and worshiping God and asking for His guidance. In fact, we believe this day is so important that it's been covered by round-the-clock prayer beginning yesterday morning at 9 a.m. And we read through the entire New Testament, I think over one time through, because we had more than one group of people signing up to read at times. And same with prayer. We had multiple people praying at the same time. And I was really excited about that fact that we filled all those slots more than once, and it was awesome. And I want to thank everybody who participated in that 24-hour prayer and Bible reading vigil. Now, if you're new to G&G, you might find it helpful to know that each year we pick a theme word for the year. And it's a word that we believe captures where we are at this point in the history of our church family. And our theme word for this year was the word follow. And when Jesus said, "Come, follow me," to his original followers, there was absolutely no doubt in his mind who the leader was and who the followers were. He was the leader. They were to take after him. They were to conform themselves to him. They were to imitate him, to accept him as the authority in their lives, and to let him call the shots. And the same is true for each of us. If we call ourselves Christians, he's the leader. We're the followers. There can be no other way. We take after him. We conform to him. We imitate him. We accept him as our authority. And to help us think through what it means to follow Christ, we developed what we called the G diagram. Followers of Christ get the good news. They get the good news of God's love, and they commit to becoming like Him. They grow. They develop a deep relationship with Him over time that transforms them into His will. And they give. They give by following His example of selfless service. And they go. They go into their homes, their schools, their workplaces, their neighborhoods to share the good news of God's love and forgiveness with others. And everything that we've done lesson-wise so far this year has been designed to lead us up to this day. And during January and February, our lesson series came out of the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And it was written about 60 to 65 years after Christ rose from the dead and returned to heaven. And the Apostle Paul at that time was the last surviving apostle as far as we know. And he'd been arrested by the Roman government and exiled to this rocky, barren island in the Aegean Sea, about 30 miles off the coast of Turkey, an island called Patmos. And while he was on this island, Christ revealed himself to John. And John sees Jesus walking among these seven lampstands. And in his right hand, he holds seven stars. And John doesn't understand what it means. And so Jesus explains it, and he tells John. He says, "As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches." And as we learned during that lesson series, that word angel probably meant the leaders of the particular churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And Christ proceeds to dictate to John seven letters to be taken to these churches. And some of the letters are very comforting and encouraging. And then some highlight positives and point out negatives that have to be corrected. And then some warn particular churches that if they don't change, Jesus will remove their lampstand. And they will cease to exist. And then Jesus says, and in the midst of dictating these letters, he says, "And to the angel," the leader, "of the church in Smyrna." And I wonder if when Jesus said those words, if John's ears perked up. I wonder if his breathing shortened, if a bead or two of cold sweat broke out on his brow. Why? Because a young protege of John's was at that church. His name was Polycarp. Tradition has it that he was personally discipled by John and that he was placed in the role of the pastor of that church by John and some of the other apostles. Now, as far as we know, Polycarp was born around 69, which means at the time of this letter, he was about 26, young, and yet he's leading a church. Later on in his life, he actually wrote a letter to a church in Philippi that still exists today. And it indicates that he probably didn't have a whole lot of formal education, but he was very direct, a humble guy, unpretentious. But then Jesus goes on to describe himself as he did in each letter. And in this letter, he focuses on the fact that he is eternal. He says, "I'm the first and the last," and that he conquered death, who was dead and who has come to life. And John had to be wondering, what kind of introduction is this? Where is he going with this? What's happening at this church? And what about Polycarp, this young man that meant so much to me? And Jesus continues. He says, "I know your tribulation, your persecution that they were suffering, and your poverty." This church was poor. It was destitute. Chances are they were denied employment. If they owned their own businesses, chances are if it was found out that they were Christians, their businesses were closed. He says, "Your poverty, but you're rich." He said, "Remember what really matters. It's not wealth in this world, it's riches in heaven. And he says, and the blasphemy, the lander, the slander and the lies by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Obviously, Jews in the Old Testament days were viewed as God's chosen people, but at this point in history, they were very much against the Church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus describes them as a synagogue or a temple, so to speak, of Satan, because they were doing his work. And I think about what Jesus said here. He says, I know, in other words, I'm aware of what's going on. I know that you're suffering severe persecution. I know that you've experienced hunger and want. And I know that there are people out there that have lied about you. And John's probably thinking, it can't get any worse, can it? Polycarp and that church family need a break. But Jesus goes on to say this. He says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. In other words, Jesus doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to take care of all this. It's all going to go away. You don't have to worry about anything. He said, no, it's bad and it's going to get worse. Behold, the devil is about to put some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. In other words, he said, tested, you consider this a test of your faith. Will you quit when the going gets tough? Or will you follow? Are you going to opt out? Are you going to say, hey, this isn't what I signed up for? Or will you follow me no matter what? He said, for some it will be going to prison. But then he goes on to say, be faithful unto death. And for some it would mean going to prison and not coming out alive. But he said, if you're faithful unto death, I will give you the crown of life. Remember that Christ described himself as the eternal one, the one who was dead and had come to life. He said, I've already conquered death, so you don't have to fear it. Stay faithful. Stay faithful unto death. And as I reread this letter this week, and I thought about this young pastor, I can't imagine pastoring a church at the age of 26. And now he's going to receive a letter like this from Christ, basically saying, it's bad and it's going to get worse, but don't be afraid. Stay faithful even to death. And I asked myself, how does this young guy in this church remain faithful unto death? How do you hang tough when you're being persecuted? And I think, friends, it goes like this. In order to follow Christ and be faithful unto death, the first thing we have to do is we have to get that Jesus was who he was. He was who he said he was, and he did what the Bible says he did. We have to get that he is the eternal Son of God, who came to earth because God so loved the world, that he came to live a perfect life and set an example for all of us. And his miracles demonstrated his power and his compassion for people. That he died on a cross to pay for the penalties for our sin, a penalty that we deserved. But he took it in our place so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. And that he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering both death and sin, so that we might be assured that death has no power over us ever. And we can face it knowing that we need not be afraid. Jesus closes this letter with these words. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. In other words, for us, for we who believe and we who are faithful unto death, there is no worry about hell. Heaven awaits us. And we have to get that if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. We have to get that we must be faithful unto death. So friends, I don't know where you are on your faith journey, but perhaps today God is calling you to get the good news of Jesus Christ and God's incredible love for you. And if you'll take out that blue insert that you have in your packet of information, it's designed to give you specific information to help you follow through on any decisions God is calling you to make at this time. And if you need more information about what it means to be a follower of Christ, or if you're ready to be baptized, we actually have a baptism celebration coming up in 2 weeks. And perhaps maybe you want to learn more about the basic beliefs of Christianity and what G&G is all about. And class 101 is coming up in 2 weeks as well, where we explain all of that. And that stuff is all explained on that blue insert. But if you also look at your decision day card, I just want to point your attention to that very first box at the top. It says, in response to God's love for me and my desire to share his love with others, I'm asking God to help me commit to get the good news of Jesus Christ and become a part of the Good News Gathering family. And friends, if you've already done that, if you've already stepped across the line of faith, and you've already been baptized, then just mark that box. But today, if you're making a commitment to do that, if this is what God is calling you to do, I pray that you'll check that box at this time. Now, if you and I are going to follow Christ and be faithful unto death, then you and I must grow more like Christ. It's a process that we'll be involved in throughout our lives. And it's a process that God wants us to engage in. Romans 8:29 tells us, for from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him should become like his son. You see, if you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, that is the expectation from him, that we will become like him. That is his expectation of us, and that is our goal as Christians, to become more like him. You know, it's interesting. History indicates to us that Polycarp did not die at the time of that persecution that was going on when Jesus dictated that letter to John. He lived on, and he continued to grow, and he became a powerful influence in the church of that day. At one point, history tells us that he was actually called to Rome to help settle a dispute that was going on among different churches all across the Roman Empire. He was also called in at one point to help settle some heresy and some false teaching that was going on. And when I told you earlier that some historians describe him as a direct person, that came very true. Because at one point, history tells us that he came face to face with somebody that was teaching false doctrine in the church. He met this person apparently on the streets in Rome. And he actually had never met the gentleman before. But the man said to him, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, reportedly, "I know the firstborn of Satan." You see, he took the good news of Jesus Christ very seriously. And anyone who would teach in the church that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, or that he didn't die on the cross for our sins, he described him as the firstborn of Satan. Now it's interesting that when we asked back in January where people felt like God was leading them, some of the responses that we got back went like this. One person said, "I want to be present and fully invest." And I've thought about that post-it note. And I wonder if this person maybe has been coming to Good News for a while, but they've never really been present. They've never really invested their life in the kingdom of heaven.
Somebody else said, you know what, my goal this year is to become a prayer warrior. And I met some of you prayer warriors yesterday when you came in and prayed over and walked throughout the building and prayed during that hour slot that you signed up for. And God knows we need prayer warriors here at Good News. Somebody else wrote, my goal this year is to listen. Not just to pray to God, but to listen to God. And somebody else wrote, my goal this year is to be nicer to people. That's probably a goal we can all have. Somebody else said, to be discipled and to disciple others and to obey God's promptings. Friends, these are all growth goals that people have. And you know, when I think about it here at Good News Gathering, we have a number of growth opportunities. If you look there on that on that blue insert that you have, there's a bunch of instructions for how you can engage in during different growth opportunities that are present here. But on your decision day card, I want to walk you through that right now. If God is calling you, and I know He is, to grow in Christ this year, perhaps what you want to make a commitment to this morning is a daily prayer and Bible study time. And friends, if that's something that you want to do, we have Bible reading plans that are available for you. All you have to do is pick one up at the Welcome Center. Perhaps it's to get involved in study and fellowship with a life group or a task group. And if you're already involved, I would just ask you to check that box and write in the name of the life group that you're in. If you're not currently in a life group or a task group, then what I would suggest that you do is I would suggest that you go out to the table in the atrium. You'll see the big banner signs right out there by the fountain. And there's a life group table out there that will help you get involved in a life group. Now, another thing that we've been talking about over the past 3 weeks is biblical financial principles. And one of the major growth opportunities that you have here is to begin to follow those biblical financial principles. One of the things that we talked about was this thing called the takeoff, which is to begin giving something in a regular, identifiable way. And if that's something you believe that God's calling you to do this year, just check that box. Or perhaps what you believe God is calling you to is to take what we call the tithe challenge. And what the tithe challenge is simply this, is to tithe in a regular, identifiable way for 4 months between now and July 31st. Now, some people ask, well, why are you saying identifiable? And the reason is because of this, friends. As you know, that principle of tithing is found throughout the Scripture. It's that idea of giving back to God that first 10%. But we ask people to give an identifiable way if they're going to be involved in the tithe challenge because we are so convinced that God will bless you in some way, maybe financially, maybe in some other way. But He will bless you in this next 4 months. And we're so convinced of that, that if after 4 months you honestly believe He has not blessed you, we'll refund your money. Okay? We'll just give it back. And you don't have to call the church office and tell me. As most of you know, nobody on staff knows who gives and who doesn't. You just call our financial director, Tom Deegan, and you'll get your money back. And think about it this way, friends. If you've really wondered if God exists, perhaps you've never crossed the line of faith, and you want a way to test out that idea, try tithing for 4 months and see if God blesses your life. I mean, think about it. This is the biggest question you'll ever ask in your life. Is there a God? A tithe is a pretty easy way to find out. We're convinced that he'll be involved in your life. Now, for some of you, it's just to continue tithing because you already know the joy that comes with that and the financial peace that you experience because of that. And some of you are gracious and generous and give beyond that. Now, some of you folks may be wondering, well, you know, I'm kind of new here, and how do you even give here? Y'all don't pass a plate. And there are different ways to do that. And back on Vision Night, for those of you that were here, JD talked to us about a new avenue for giving. And he's going to come up right now, and he's going to talk to us about this and about something, a new thing that we've got going on here, which is the GNG app. JD, talk to us about that.
So I'm really excited this morning to talk with you guys about something called the GNG app. As some of you guys probably know, we've been working on a new giving strategy that we rolled out to you guys at the beginning of the month. We talked about a new online giving system that we were beginning to utilize through a company that we have partnered with called PushPay. And over the course of the last month, not only have we been working on that that new giving process, but we've also been working on a live application that you can download to your phone that will allow you to connect with GNG in some greater ways. So if you have your mobile device on you now, I would encourage you to take it out. And if you're an Apple user, you'll go to your App Store. If you're a Google user or an Android user, you'll go to your Google Play Store or whatever. Anywhere that you go to purchase apps, and you'll search in the search bar on those app stores for the Good News Gathering app. You just search for Good News Gathering, and you should be able to find this app. It's up. It's fully functional. It's working right now. And what you'll see is that it'll look just like our G logo inside of a white box. That's the app appearance that you should see when you're looking for it on your app store. And the cool thing is, as a part of this app, we offer you the opportunity to connect with us in a number of ways. Right, once you open the app, right on the homepage, are a couple of really exciting things. Number one is our communication card. For those of you guys that have been walking into GNG for a long time, you know that every week you get a packet of information, and in there is a communication card, and you can fill it out and take it to the Welcome Center and all that cool stuff. The reality is there's now an online communication card. You can go into the app, and on a weekly basis, if you want to send us a comment or something about the service, or you want to ask a question, or you want to sign up for a class, you can do all of those things right through the app by filling out that communication card. Anything that's on the communication card, you can do in the app now. So there's a digital way for you to fill out and complete the communication cards. Also, if you open the app, down in the bottom right, you will see the giving page. And what it will do is, once you click on that, it will open your web browser and it will take you to the new giving page that we've been working on here at GNG over the last month. And it will offer you the opportunity to give through GNG either on a one-time basis or on a recurring basis. Also in that app are a number of other things. One of the things I'm most excited about is many of you guys have been asking for a better list and a more complete list of upcoming events and things like that. If you see down on the bottom, kind of bottom middle, bottom right, of that app, if you open it, you'll see an events listing. It literally has every event coming up at GNG over the course of the rest of the year in there, along with a brief description. So you should know the date and the time and the place of everything that we know already that we're doing for the rest of the year. So this app is a highly functional way of staying connected to what's going on here at GNG. So I would encourage you guys to download download it. One of the other cool things that it offers us is it offers us the opportunity to push notifications out to you guys if there's something that you need to know. For instance, when you open the app, it's going to ask you what kind of notifications you want from us. And so if you click on GNG events, for instance, in that notification section, it's every time that we send something out about a major event coming up, or for instance, if we have a snow closure as we've had before, you will be among the first to know, because if we decide to close services for snow, we're going to push out on that app a notification saying services are closed for today, thank you very much, or first service is closed but second service is not, something along those lines. That will push out direct to your phone and you'll be able to read it immediately. You won't have to wait for the news. You won't have to wait for anything else. You won't have to wait for the radio or a phone call or anything like that. It'll come straight to your phone so that you're able to connect with us. If you have kids in our G-Kids department and you want to know what's going on with them, you'll be able to select to get notifications from the G-Kids department so that anytime they're having an event or they're doing some kind of outreach opportunity or something along those lines, they will send out a notification and you'll be made known. Hey, this is coming up and I want my kids to be a part of it. So this app is going to be a really functional way of staying connected to what we're doing here at GNG, and we're really excited about. So if you guys have the opportunity, I would really encourage you to go ahead and download that app today and begin using it.
Okay, now there is a table in the atrium for people that are
right
technologically.
Right. So for those of you that perhaps are not used to doing all this on your own device, or you're a little concerned about, hey, I want to open this, but I'm not sure how to work it, and I could probably use some help. Out in the atrium after service today, there will be people standing at a table, Doug and some of his tech team guys, that will be out there to help you download the app, help you get it all set up, and help you get connected with it. So just find the table out in the atrium that says GNG app if you want a little bit of help, and somebody will be there to assist you with getting this thing up and running.
Okay. Now, JD, on the Decision Day card, there's another box there, and this is new for us. It says, sign up for a 4G talk, a spiritual
right.
checkup. Talk to us about that. Explain to us, begin with maybe just a brief history of how this came about, and then what the purpose of this is.
So over the course of the last year, as a staff, specifically regarding the GNG leadership team and the staff, we began to feel like God was revealing that we hadn't perhaps done as good a job as a staff and leadership team as we should have done at evaluating regularly the performance of the individuals on staff and on the leadership team. We felt like there was a need to be encouraging to people to continue to take next steps in their growth and their faith, but also their performance as a part of their job responsibilities or their leadership team responsibilities here at GNG. We felt like we needed to do a better job with evaluation and performance assessment and things of that nature. And so we began to create the 4G talk mostly as an assessment tool for our staff and our leadership team. But as the process went along and as we began to create the documents and as we began to work through it and talk about it with our staff and talk about it with the leadership team, one of the things that we recognized is that we were spending most of the discussion talking about spiritual growth issues, talking about whether or not we as staff members or leadership team members were ourselves doing get, grow, give, and go. We wrapped the whole thing around that 4G model. And as we began to talk about it, we got to thinking, you know what? This is something that we could offer at perhaps a lower level to everyone in the church who wants to maybe do some self-evaluation. Whereas as a part of the staff and as a part of the leadership team, this is something that we are going to make everybody do. just being a Christian and being a better follower of Christ, could we perhaps offer this to people that are in our congregation who might want to sit down with somebody and honestly evaluate, how am I doing? What could I do to be a better follower of Christ? Are there some areas of my walk with him that are a little bit lagging behind other areas? And so we created a specialized document that's just for individuals who are kind of part of the church family that want to assess, hey, how am I doing spiritually? And I want to sit down with somebody who's going to be nice and who's going to be gracious and who's going to listen to me and not judge where I'm at, but just honestly help me figure out where are some ways that I could grow? What are some next steps that I can take to be a better follower of Christ?
Okay,
and so we're offering that.
Right, and this is a self-assessment. People assess themselves.
Right.
It's not somebody else coming in and saying,
like sitting down in a room with somebody and walking them through and me evaluating them. It's them coming to a meeting with somebody that, you know, is either a part of the staff or part of the leadership team or maybe one of the leaders in their ministry area, if perhaps they're involved in a ministry area, and saying, you know, hey, I've assessed myself. This is where I feel like I'm doing pretty well. This is where I feel like I'm doing pretty poorly. And I'd like to think about some next steps. And it's that back and forth conversation where I can honestly evaluate myself and where I am and then have somebody on the other side of the table look at me and go, okay, all right, these seem like some reasonable next steps you could take if you really want to grow in this area. Here are some things you might try. Here are some experiments you might get into if you want to take some next steps in this particular area, some things you might think about, some people you might want to spend time with, yada yada yada. So it's a way of advancing yourself spiritually and having somebody there to walk through that conversation with you.
Okay, and when I went through mine, it was like you're going through each one of those elements of the G, and you look at certain things, you think, oh, I'm really not doing so well there,
right?
And I can see it.
Right.
Now, but it's the discipline of just sitting down and thinking through it that's really helpful, I think.
You know, to give everybody a personal example, when I went through my own 4G talk, because I created the documents with help from the staff and the leadership team, and so I sat down and did my own. And I've delivered that to a couple people that are in my circle here at GNG. And one of the interesting things that I noticed was that I do this up here, but one of the things it asks me on that assessment is, am I doing personal worship time, where it's just me, just by myself? Am I ever spending time just worshiping God personally when nobody else is around? And as I sat there with that particular element of the document, I realized, you know what? Apart from sitting down and maybe trying to work on writing a song, or sitting down for practice for that particular coming week, I'm really not ever just privately spending time worshiping God. And that was a moment for me that I was like, wow, you know, I come in here and I do it on Thursday, and I come in here and I do it on Sunday, but I probably ought to be doing this for myself more regularly. And so it's nobody coming in from the outside saying, JD, you ought to be doing this. It's me going, wow, this is a part of my spiritual growth I probably ought to be paying attention to, you know. And there's other elements, and obviously there's all four aspects of the G. And so I kind of work my way, but in every area I found some time to really think about I could be doing better. And so the 4G talk offered me an opportunity to not only assess that, but then share that with somebody that can hold me accountable.
Yeah, that was one of the things that as I went through it, I it was like, okay. When was the last time I fasted?
Right.
It's been a long time. And so part of my development this year is to try and fast once a month.
Right.
And I know I have to schedule it or it won't happen. And so there's also a table out there in the atrium. If anybody would like to sign up for a 4G talk,
right,
or get involved in that, do we have the forms out there for them, or is that something they can get online?
No, I believe we have the forms out there for them, and there's a sign-up sheet out there. And again, if this is something that you're interested in, go out and check out the table. You should be able to access the forms, and just take a look at it and see, hey, is this something I'd be interested in doing for myself, and is this something I'd be willing to have somebody walk through with me? And if so, sign up, and we'll contact you and set up a time. Somebody in the office or somebody on the leadership team or something. And if you want to identify who you'd be most interested in doing that, we can talk about that. But this is an opportunity for you to go out to the table in the atrium and take a look at that form and check out whether or not this is something you'd be interested in doing for your own personal development.
And the cool thing about doing this with somebody else, folks, is that you can sit down with that person and talk through it, and then you can set a time, maybe 3 months or 6 months out, and say, let's sit down again and let's just see how I'm doing. Have I done that fast? Have I got that on my schedule? And it helps us to grow, to have somebody else speaking into our life. Jesus said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus set an example of service. It's an expectation of those who follow him. And friends, that the third thing that we have to understand is that if we are going to follow Christ and be faithful unto death, then we have to give ourselves in service. You and I must give ourselves in service. Now, I find it fascinating that when Jesus dictated this letter to John, it is estimated that John was somewhere between 80 and 90, maybe even as much as 95 years old. And yet he was still serving. I find it fascinating that, according to history, Polycarp served until he was 86. Now think about this, friends. John was exiled to the island of Patmos by the Roman government in his mid-80s to 90s because he was considered a threat to the state. Polycarp was executed at the age of 86 because he was considered a threat to the state. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to think that when I'm in my mid-80s or beyond, if God grants me that much life, that I will still be such a force that the forces of evil feel it necessary to take me out. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of impact I want my life to have for good. But I know this. It comes when we choose to follow Jesus by serving in his kingdom and by serving others. You know, some of the folks that wrote in back on Vision Night, one person said, my goal this year is to find a ministry that I can benefit. To find a ministry. And you know, one of the things that we have today out in the atriums, we have a table out there. We call it the G-Serve table. And there's actually a brochure out there that says G-Serve on it that will kind of give you an idea of what all the different ministries are that you could be involved in. Another person indicated a desire to work in one of our partner ministries. They want to volunteer at the pregnancy center and help women going through postpartum depression. Somebody else said they wanted to work in our special needs ministry. Many of you know that we have some children here with some very special needs. And we have people that work with them and they need help. Somebody said, I want to commit to a second ministry that I can serve in when they need it, when they need extra help. And man, what an awesome heart to serve that displays. Friends, you know, there's a misconception sometimes when a church gets to the size that we are. And sometimes people look around and they see all kind of things going on and they think, you know what, I don't think they really need anybody to help out. I mean, it looks like they got it all covered. And I want you to understand that sometimes around here, friends, it's a little bit like the duck. You know what I'm saying? Any of you ever seen those videos of ducks that show what's going on top of the water and what's going on under? And on top of the water, you see this duck just kind of floating across the pond, all peaceful, and it all seems really nice and calm. And then when they show the feet underneath, it's not that way at all. And sometimes that's the way it's around here, friends. Sometimes we're scrambling. And we're at one of those moments in the history of our church where we need all hands on deck. If you call this your church home, we need you to step up. In fact, just right now, and you've been enjoying these screens all morning long, we're in desperate need in our multimedia ministry that puts these screens up on the walls. And friends, if you're wondering, all you have to do is, if you know PowerPoint, you can do that. You can do what's going on up here. And if you have any interest in serving in that area, there's a lady back up here in the booth in red, and she's waving at you right now, and she can help you get involved there. But I would encourage you, friends, if you're not serving at this time, to stop by the table, the G-Serve table in the atrium, and get involved. One of our BHAGs this year, and BHAG, for those of you that don't know, just stands for Big Hairy Audacious Goals. One of our BHAGs for this year was to have everyone who calls G&G their church home committed to a specific ministry and serving at least one service 2 times a month. And some of you may be wondering, why would you want people to serve one service 2 times a month? Well, if everybody would serve just one service twice a month, nobody would ever have to miss a morning service. You could serve one, you could attend one, and you would never have to miss what goes on in here. And we realize how important that is. Because one person made the comment, they said, you know what, I want to learn to serve this year in a way that doesn't make me burn out. And we've realized that in past, at times we've overworked people, we've let people get to a point of burnout. And part of the reason that happens is because they serve so often that they're never in here and they're never getting fed. And we want to change that. We want people to serve in ways that are healthy, in ways that they can serve long term. So friends, on your decision day card, that box there says, give myself in service to others by discovering and using my shape for service in at least one G&G ministry. And if you're already serving, just write in what it is there. Or if God's calling you to figure out where you should serve, then friends, please stop by that table in the atrium. In Jesus' famous last words to his followers, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And we understand that in order to be a follower of Jesus, we must go and share the good news. And it was interesting, some of the folks that responded back on Vision Night, one of them said this, they said, I will let people in my life. I will share myself fully without fear so they will know the extent of God's love. What a cool goal for this year. Somebody else said, I'll be more confident in sharing my faith and sharing my gifts. And I'm going to get over Satan's lies that I believe about myself. Friends, one of the things that we set as a goal, a BHAG for this year, was to have 684 first-time guests. And some of you may be thinking, what in the world? Why such a big number? And it's simply the idea that each one of us would reach one person this year. Because last year our average attendance was 684. And friends, there's tons of go opportunities here. We have invite cards, which our greeters have. And as you know, this is, we're rolling into Easter season, which is one of those times of the year when people are very open to the claims of Christianity. And you can invite people and just hand them one of those cards that has our service time on it, or you can go through the drive-through and pay for the person behind you and leave a card for them. Hillsborough Not As Usual is coming up in early May, and you can, there's information about that in the bulletin. And we're going to be going into Ward 3, and we need 250 volunteers in order to reach a bigger cross-section of Ward 3. We've got the G Garden coming up, too. We had a bunch of people express interest in that, and in that food that's raised is going to be given to food banks to help people in need. We also have something we call the three-minute rule, which is just simply at the close of every service, try within that first 3 minutes to find somebody that you don't already know and introduce them, and introduce yourself to them and let them know that you're glad that they're here. Friends, when we go, we make an impact on the world. And you know, I think about Polycarp. At the age of 86, he was burned at the stake by the Roman government. And legend has it, and I found this in a magazine called Christianity Today. Some of you may be familiar with it. But legend has it that when they were taking him to the stake to be burned, the soldiers started to put his hands on the stake to nail his hands to the stake so he wouldn't move. And he told them not to. He said, "Leave me as I am, for he who grants me to endure the fire will enable me also to remain unmoved without the security you desire from the nails." You see, he was ready to go. He knew who his father was, and he knew where he was going, and he knew he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, some of you may be wondering, well, what should I do with this card? I would encourage you. There's a couple things you can do. You can take it with you. I would encourage you to put it someplace where you see it, in your Bible, your study Bible, or in a prominent place in your home to remind you of the decisions that you've made. Or on the tables in the back, there's a box with the big G logo on it. And if you would like, you can drop your decision day card in those tables. You don't have to do this. It's entirely up to you. But the sole purpose for turning it in is so that I can pray for you throughout this year. It's not to check up on you. It's not to question you. Hopefully you have somebody in your life that you're accountable with and who can check up on you. But friends, if you would like me to pray for you this year, just put this card in those boxes. I'll make a copy of it this week, and I'll send the original right back to you. Well, some of you are thinking, well, maybe I didn't make a commitment in every area. That's between you and God. You make the commitments that you feel like he's calling you to make. And I'll be praying for you this year. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the commitments that have been made today. I pray, Father, that these decisions will impact not just this church, but the world in which we live. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.